This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary message of truth. So men, women, boys, and girls all over America, please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1, where we left off last time. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. Just before we begin, I would like to invite the entire world to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on August 3rd at 6:30 p.m. for Scott Merson and his Word Manifest in Pictures video. It is awesome. Scott Merson is a mighty man of valor. He would have been great, one of David's 30 mighty men. And he's a demon slayer, and Scott is anointed. He has a supernatural gift. Holy Spirit tells him to take pictures. He takes the pictures, and the spiritual realm is revealed in the physical realm. Demons, angels, scrolls like in Ezekiel, crosses, all kinds of good things. So come to Scott Merson's movie, Spiritual Realm Revealed in the Physical Realm, The Word Manifest with Pictures, August 3rd, 6:30 p.m. right here at my school. I'll probably serve popcorn. Now, Zechariah is a prophecy of these end times, and Zechariah 14, you might like to title it, What Happens to You When You Do the Body Change? We're gonna change bodies.
Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh.
Now this is the seventh trump, and a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, as Peter says. So this will be when Jesus actually comes, and the millennium time, 1,000 years, that long day begins.
And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee.
Now the spoil there, he's referring to the Antichrist, who will already be here standing in Jerusalem, calling himself God, standing where he ought not, 2 Thessalonians 2. And he has spoiled everybody, because the whole world at that time will have married the Antichrist, spiritually speaking, even half the body of Christ, except the very elect, that one little group that always stays true to God. And so Jesus is coming, and he's going to find that the spoil is standing in his place.
Verse 2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city.
Now in Revelation chapter 6, we see the first rider on the white horse, who is the Antichrist, pretending to be the Savior, coming to conquer and to conquer. So what he says here, when the Antichrist comes, he would have captured the hearts of the whole world. Like so when you fall in love, someone captures your heart. And when it says he rifles them, it means he's deceived them, and ravishes the women means he married the whole world. Remember, Jesus is the bridegroom and we're the bride, so it means men and women will have spiritually wed him. Ravished means that they have been wholly seduced by him and they are married to him. All of the world, men and women, is what it means, so it doesn't mean anything else. And so except once again that elect. And what we're going to find here, that two-thirds there of the whole world will have gone after him. In from the first earth age, when one-third followed Satan, one-third was lukewarm, and one-third fought for him in our spiritual bodies, there has been that same cycle in every generation. And here at the end, two-thirds of all human beings will be worshiping him, but that residue will be the elect, thank God there's always a remnant.
3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle.
Okay, when Jesus comes, he's coming in the sky, and he's bringing an army with him. And as he comes, Satan and his camp will fight against him. This is called the Battle of Armageddon. That's the first battle mentioned here. Now remember, Jesus' feet have not yet touched the mount. So we're still in our flesh bodies. That's the Battle of Armageddon. There'll be blood up to the horse's bridle. But he says he's going to fight with the same intensity, the same ferociousness, the same passion as he did in that battle. What battle? The katabol, a Greek word, Satan's overthrow in the first earth age. And it says in Revelation 12, Michael and his angels fought, and that would be Michael the archangel, that would be the elect who fought with Michael against Satan and his angels. That ferocious battle in the first earth age when Satan rebelled and said, I will be God. Because Satan overthrew God's kingdom then. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to see that Satan has again overthrown his kingdom. It's a ferocious battle.
4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives.
Now, at the moment that Jesus' feet touch that, it is in God's appointment book. We will all do the body change. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, at the last trump, we shall all be changed. This is what we do. We step out of this flesh body like a discarded sweater into a body that has never been sick, was never designed to die. We're all the same age. It's beautiful. It's perfect. But even the lost are going to change, but they are yet liable to die. Does not mean they have eternal life. So we all do the body change. Now keep that in mind. So from this moment on in this chapter, we're going into a spiritual dimension. You no longer cross your T's and dot your I's and think logically in the flesh. You are now in your spiritual body as Jesus' feet touch that, the body change. He's going to describe that in a few minutes.
Which is before Jerusalem on the east.
He's coming in through the east gate.
The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof.
When his feet hit that Mount of Olives, it's going to cut half in two. Remember in the Gospels, Mark 13, the disciples said, Jesus, Master, look at these buildings. And Jesus says, when I return, there will be not one stone left standing upon another. When Jesus hits Mount Olive, every stone's going to fall. The mosque there on the Temple Mount will crumble. That wailing wall will crumble. And that burdensome stone that Zechariah told us about a few chapters back, Satan himself will be crumbled. He is the fake stone. Ezekiel 28, he's called Tyrus, the fake stone. An angel's going to take Satan with a locking device and lock him into a pit for that long thousand-year day. Hallelujah. Every stone. You notice now, Jesus is cleaning it up there. He's removing all of the debris.
Toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south.
All inclusive.
5, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, but the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azal.
Now this is interesting. Azal means a new place, a noble place. He's cleaned it up. It is not a different location. But the devil and all his camp are not there. That mosque devoted to another god is not there. And everything is clean. It is a new place. It is a noble place. Jesus will stand there. It's the same location. But it is cleaned up. It is perfected. And there's a dot, the very elect, that he brings with him, that remnant, and the very elect now, always that small one-third, will gather around him. He says, I go and prepare a place for you, a new place, a noble place. Same location, but a perfected place. And that's where we're going to be, the elect, right with Jesus. right then, throughout the 1,000 years, and throughout eternity.
Amen. Yea, ye shall flee as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah.
He refers to the earthquake, and that's written in Amos 1:1.
And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him.
Now, a saint is not every Christian. A saint, ecclesia, set aside ones. The saints would be the very elect, that third that did not betray him, then coming with him. Enoch said in the little book of Jude, he's coming with 10,000s of his saints. Hallelujah. Bring them on.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear, nor dark. 7, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord.
Okay, now remember when Jesus was in the flesh, he took on the form of a man, and he said, no man knows the day nor the hour, not even Jesus, but the Father. But now Jesus is God, and of course he has to know because he's coming. Now what is this not day nor night? In this flesh, God made day so we could work, and he made night so we could rest. We need that in our flesh bodies, do we not? Yes. But in the spiritual body, you don't get tired. And what this means in the manuscripts is a continuation, one long day. The Epistle of John, chapter 1, says Jesus is the light of the world, and in him there is no darkness. So we don't have day and night as we have it now. You understand? We don't need that. So it's a continuation. It's not so bright that things are dried up, and it's not so dark that things are hidden. So keep that in mind. He's also going to tell us that winter and summer does not affect us. In a spiritual body, you don't get cold, the frost won't bite you. In a spiritual body, the sun won't burn you.
Not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light.
Now, evening does not mean what you and I say evening, because it's getting evening and now it's going to be dark. It means at the end of the flesh dispensation. See, when Jesus comes, lands his feet, we are through with the flesh. That's it. We're in a spiritual body. So that means the end of the dispensation of flesh. And you notice it says there'll be light. Jesus is the light of the world.
8, and it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem.
This is the Holy Spirit, so beautifully described in Revelation 22 and Ezekiel 47. This is that clear crystal water, the Holy Spirit, flowing out from the throne of God. And it is permanently opened, as we learned, the fountain. We just sang the fountain filled with blood. And that fountain, especially after everything is rejuvenated in the millennium, it flows out and covers, and it washes us with water by the word of God. And when the Holy Spirit touches you now, it is ecstasy. And what he's going to do is perpetually renew the love. See, this is a love story. It's all about love. In other words, there's going to be the Holy Spirit flowing through. It's the honeymoon every minute. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea.
The Dead Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, again meaning all-inclusive.
In summer and in winter shall
again,
will it be.
In other words, the winter is flowing through, the heat, the sun doesn't dry it up, and the winter doesn't frost it.
And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. One King, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. And we shall give him our crowns, for he is worthy. Hear, Lord, we give you our mitre, we give you our crown.
10, all the land shall be turned as a plain.
Okay, what this means is, now this will take place at the end of the millennium, after the lake of fire, all evil is gone, devil, all sinners, and the great white throne judgment, and only the saved are left. God is going to rejuvenate this earth, and we're told he's going to restore the acreage. He's going to dry up the seas where it was torn up when the firmament fell in the first earth age. And everything will be paradise restored, just perfect there. So it's rejuvenated. Why is he doing this? Because God the Father is coming down, bring the heavenly Jerusalem down here, and heaven will be on earth forever and ever. Paradise restored, making it perfect again.
From Geba to Rimmon.
Okay, in other words, from the north to the south again, all over this planet, all inclusive.
South of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up.
It, Jerusalem. Now, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the end of the millennium will dwell right there in Jerusalem with his elect, those who've gone on and those who are here around him. And then there are tribes and everything in place, and people have acreages all over this land. But why does he say Jerusalem? Jerusalem will be the capital of the universe. That's it.
Inhabited in her place.
And the Zadok will live right there with Jesus, and the prince, David, will be there. The tribes right there in that front area. All the Gentiles have their allotment all over this place. We're going to hear about them in a few minutes.
Benjamin's gate, the place of the first gate.
All of the 12 tribes.
Unto the corner gate. And from the tower of Hananel,
God graciously gives
unto the king's wine presses. 11 and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction.
The destroyer is gone, poof, into the lake of fire.
But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. 11, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem.
Now here comes your body change.
Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet.
Have you ever just been so tired you just unbuttoned the top part of your garment and dropped it to the floor? That's what's going to happen to your flesh. It doesn't hurt.
And their eyes shall consume away in their hold.
Okay, you got new eyes. You can see spiritually now, for real.
And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth.
Don't need that tongue. We have a new word. Everybody will know the word.
13, and it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them.
Whoa.
And they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor. And his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor.
Now, when the world sees that they have worshipped the wrong God, and when the body of Christ that thought that first one coming to fly them away was Jesus, when they see they have wed, have been ravished, have been seduced, and married the devil, they're going to find those preachers that taught them the lie, fly, proverb. And they're going to say, why did you tell us a lie? Why didn't you teach us the order of the trumps? Why did you tell us that 7 comes before 6? Why did you tell us that 6 comes before 7? And they're going to beat them and pummel them there. Hallelujah. I don't blame them. Look out, false preachers. Stop the lie, fly thing. Jesus is not coming until the Antichrist is here.
14, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem.
Our brother Judah, who would not receive, now remember there are 12 tribes, we're not talking about all 12 tribes, your brother Judah did not receive the Messiah the first time. And he would catch the rabbis and say, look, why didn't you read that? Why didn't you, it said, you should have told us that he was going to be cut off. You should have told us that his hands would be pierced and he would die. Why didn't you tell us that? Why did you deceive us? Now, for all of you who are going to be deceived, I'm going to tell you this. If you would seek the truth, God would give it to you. That is what I did. In other words, if you're somewhere being taught a lie, stop it. Get out of there. Seek the truth with all your heart. The truth is Jesus, and you will find it. And when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I am here. You must take responsibility yourself, Christian. You know what people who don't have any character always say? They did it. It's their fault. No, Christian, you seek the truth, and you'll find it. You don't have to be deceived.
Amen.
And the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel.
Now what this means is all the rich people of the world are going to try to buy their salvation like they try to do now. You know, they buy their way out of prison and they buy their way out of everything. It'll have no effect. It's going to be wood, hay, stubble.
In great abundance, 15, and so shall be the plague of the horse.
The horse and the animals are going to do the body change too. Isaiah 11 says the animals have a spiritual body. Now, they don't sin, so they're not going to die. God loves his animals. They're going to do the body change too.
You of the camel and of the ass and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents.
Now, the beast in the tent is different. This means the sheep traffickers of commerce, the Kenites, that one dynasty of the economy that rips you off and raises your taxes and takes all the money and wealth of the world. All of those, now they are going to change, but they are liable to die. Remember, everybody at first, even the lost, are going to change and into the spiritual body. But they are not going to be with us unless they repent.
And the plague. 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king.
Okay. Always 2/3 of a trade, 1/3 left. The only ones gathering around Jesus will be the elect, coming back with him, that remnant, and the elect here, not deceived. Now, all of the other people left will have their allotment. Ezekiel tells us that. The kings, Revelation 21, calls them the kings and queens of the ethnos, the different races. God loves all the races. He says it's very good. Now, the elect, the Zadok, are of the 12 tribes of Abraham. So the very elect, not deceived, well, our inheritance is God. So where he is, we stay there, right with him. And then he has allotment for the tribes. But the kings and queens of the ethnos will have their allotment all over this land. And they are the equivalent of the elect in their race. God loves all of his people. And once a year, Revelation 21, these kings and queens of the ethnos will bring their people up to Jerusalem to worship the king. Now, the elect are going to have something to do there, and it's a surprise. I'm going to tell you what it is.
The Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles.
Tabernacle means the Lord tabernacles with us. They are going to go up and give their love to the Lord Jesus. Now, we're going to find that the elect are standing right around him, and we have a job.
17, and it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain.
This is a figure of speech. The latter rain, they did not get the truth. What this means is, after he rejuvenates everything, anybody who did not accept Jesus is not there. In other words, if it doesn't rain on the seed dies, okay? Eternal death. So that's just a figure of speech, meaning a metaphor. They will not be there.
King, and if the family of Egypt go not up,
heathen, sinful,
and come not, but have no rain, this shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord shall smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles.
It backs up just a little bit, the great white throne judgment, who are not saved will walk into the lake of fire that comes into existence at the end of the millennium and prepared for the devil and his angels. So they all go and they are not there. In other words, in the rejuvenated heaven on earth, everybody's going to be saved and everybody's going to love the Lord. So that clears that. Now we're going to find out what the elect standing around Jesus have to do.
King, this shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles.
Eternal death, not there.
20, in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord.
You know, animals must be programmed to worship the Lord. Look at that little bird hanging on the branch. Tweet, tweet, tweet. You know he's saying praise the Lord.
And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar.
Oh, the pots before the Lord's house like the bowls before the altar. Jesus is the potter. You are the clay. You are the pot. This would be the elect. The bowl runs over with the love of God. So now, he says, the elect are standing there. Now remember, these kings and queens are coming once a year, and time is a different thing, to worship the king. What will the elect do?
21, yea, and every part in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them.
Take of them, the elect, all of these Christians coming to worship, coming to partake of the elect, standing around Jesus.
And seethe therein.
And see, the elect will seethe. The elect are married to Jesus. That love from him flows through the elect. Seethe means to boil over and soak. It boils over and soaks everybody. The elect, when they come, we will have that love, and the love will boil over and will soak everybody in love. Hallelujah. But see, that's a sign of an elect. Love boils over, and everybody you meet, you soak them with pretty pink love. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's our job. We're going to do that forever. But see, we don't lose anything. Jesus fills us with his love, and we pour it out, it boils over. And when everybody comes, we just have soak, soak, soak. It drips all over you. Hallelujah. Don't wait till then. Soak everybody you meet with the love of Jesus. Let it boil over you.
And at that day, there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts.
After this beautiful masterpiece, a Kenite got here and messed up this last little statement. Canaanite is a blatant mistake in the manuscripts. It means the poor of the flock, the sheep traffickers, the Kenite, K-E-N-I-T-E, the descendants of Cain, Cain the child of the devil. In other words, there's only going to be one father. There will not be any devil's children there. Hallelujah. Heaven on earth. Zechariah, Hebrew, the remembered of Yahweh. He remembered us, and he gave Zechariah a series of visions over a period of 7 years, from 410 BC to 403 BC. At first he started out and he's sending angelic beings to peep in our windows and see if everything's ready for the end, to check out the elect, elect connect, to see if we're all in our place. And then he told us of two witnesses. They could be here already, but you're going to hear them soon, who will pump the truth into that few elect who will not be deceived. And then he told us in Zechariah 5 that if you try to go to that first harvest and try to fly away, you're not going to heaven and you're not going to earth. You're going to get stuck there, and God calls that wickedness, and you're going to Shinar, which means confusion. You're going to the devil. And then he told us of the Antichrist coming, pretending to be God, and the whole world marrying him. He ravishes the women, means he married them. Deceit, half the body of Christ. And then he tells us of Jesus coming, of the battle of Armageddon, and then of his feet landing, of us doing the body change, of the 1,000 years reign when Zadok will be right around Jesus, the elect, teaching. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Of the great white throne judgment, of the lake of fire when all sin is gone, of the rejuvenation of God the Father coming down, oh, bringing the heaven to Jerusalem, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, here on earth, heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for Zechariah. I pray it does not return void in Jesus' name. Next week, we'll begin the fantastic prophetic book of Malachi. But right now, it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to unveil the mystery. Joel 2 said, blow the trumpet. I want to welcome my friend Scott Merson of Picture Scripture fame. And how are you, Scott?
I'm doing good today, Sherry.
Great. Thank you. What's your first question?
Our first question refers to Deuteronomy 22:5, where it says, a woman is not to wear men's clothing. Can you explain?
Yes, I can. It's a figure of speech. In Bible times, women wore skirts. So see, ladies, if you're wearing a dress, you'd be dressed like a man. Is a woman is to not to play the part of a man in a sex act, and a man is not to play the part of a woman in a sex act. We better tell those five Black Rose judges, huh, Scott?
Yeah, right. Okay, our next question, a reader was reading in Job 40, and he wants to know, what is Behemoth?
Behemoth is the dinosaur. In Job 38, God showed up to Job and he said, don't listen to those others. Don't ever preach sermons on what Job's friends said. They were put in there to show you what a lie is. But at 38, God shows up and he said, Job, do you remember the first earth age? Do you remember when the children of God shouted for joy, when the stars sang together? Do you remember when the dinosaurs were in the flesh and they roamed the earth? And he's explaining to Job, and then he said there was the Leviathan, the crocodile, Satan. The reason, Job, that you're being troubled here is because Satan knows the elect, and he's always trying to get the elect out of the way. And so that was the dinosaurs. They were in the first earth age. We were not in a flesh body, but the dinosaurs were. Yes.
I know we're all looking forward to that star singing.
Oh, don't you want to hear that?
Yes. Our next question is really interesting. It says, does God sometimes interfere with our will to accomplish his will?
Absolutely. Now, the two-thirds of all mankind, all generations, have free choice because they betrayed God. The lukewarm is thus betrayed too. And so you have free choice to choose Jesus or the Bible. He doesn't interfere with that. But the elect would justify them. And Romans 8:26, he says, he intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. An elect really does not pray. The Holy Spirit prays through an elect. The Holy Spirit sings through an elect. God takes an elect, turns you on a dime, and just orchestrates your life. That's what we call it's a mandate. We're here on an assignment. The elect, he can to fulfill his purpose because that's why we're here. And a true elect is very happy to turn on a dime. See, he intervenes in an elect. Everybody else has free choice. That's why there's such a difference in prayer. Some people pray nice prayers. They're pretty. But others, you might not think they're pretty, but they're God praying through you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God.
I know sometimes, like myself, when I experience a supernatural movement within God's Word, once you go through that, it does change your perspective and you never look or move the same again.
Never again do you. You understand, you feel that slightest nuance, don't you?
Yes, definitely. We have a caller here that says that they love your prayers of healing. And do you have a healing service?
Absolutely. Every Sunday, 5 p.m., we have the Word, and then we have healing. You always must hear the Word before you heal, because the Word heals. And every Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., we have the Word, and then we have the prayer for healing, or any kind of prayer. Yes, it's always open. Sundays, 5 p.m., Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m., Word and prayer. You must always have the Word first. That's why we have miracles, don't we, Scott? Absolutely, miracles.
I can testify to that. I've seen them here.
You've seen it. Okay, got a testimony here. Okay.
Okay. And our final question is there any way I could have a one-on-one with you and tell you what's troubling me?
Yes, you can. I call it Tell Me Your Troubles. You need, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number in a few minutes. You need to call and make an appointment. Now, you're going to get my voicemail, but speak clearly, leave your number. What you do, you make an appointment with me so we have that privacy. And you can tell me your troubles, and I'll feel your troubles. I'll get in there, and I will cry with you. I really do that. And, you know, even if a person can't solve, if somebody could just feel the pain, it lifts it. But then we'll give it to Jesus. And then we'll find a solution. So you call and make an appointment. Thank you
Amen.
So much, Scott.
Oh, you're
God bless
welcome,
you. Don't forget Scott's presentation August 3rd, 6:30 p.m. here at my school. Now, if you are not saved, let's pray quickly and get saved. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me.
Save me.
Heal me.
Heal me.
Heal my soul.
Heal my soul.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your Word.
Grow me in your Word.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory.
Enlarge your territory.
I love you.
I love you.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
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 Now, if you prayed that when you call me, call and tell me you were saved. Let me pray for you, those of you who are sick. In the mighty name and the power of Jesus Christ, Father, I ask now the Holy Spirit will move out all over the airways, Father God, to everybody. Wherever there is pain, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. In Jesus' name, I smite cancer in the name of Jesus. Cancer, you are dead. Be gone. Be released in Jesus' name. I smite blindness in Jesus' name. Blindness, be gone. You have no power here. I smite arthritis in Jesus' name. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. Oh, hallelujah. Legs walk. Ears here. Blood pressure be stabilized. Backbone, spine, bones be made strong. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Be healed in the name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. Thank you, God. We give you praise and honor and glory. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Now, when you call, you want to tell me that. Okay. Now, your love line of the week. From my heart to your heart is I want you to be a love pot. Let the love of Jesus fill you to overflowing. Boil over with love. And let that love soak everybody you meet with pretty pink love. Hallelujah. Now, remember this about Jesus Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, Thy word is truth. Now wait for my announcer so you can call me and tell me you love me, tell me your questions, tell me your prayer requests, make appointments, and tell me that you appreciate this program, and I love you.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Stand in judgment for every single word that we have spoken. One of these days we all will stand before the Lord, give a reason for everything.
inside out, all will know what I'm about. I'm not holding back now. Oh, I won't deny what you have done. You are my saving one. I'm not holding back. I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna dance. I'm gonna praise you like I never had the chance.
The whole earth trembles. Calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Beyond all reason, you gave your life, your all for me. Call me yours forever. Caught in merciful, I found all, found all I need. All I need, and the time has come to stand for all we believe in. So I, for one, I'm gonna give my praise to you. Hey. Today, today, it's all or nothing, all the way. The praise goes out to you. Yeah, the praise goes out to you. Found love beyond all reason. You gave your life, your all for me. Call me yours forever. Caught in mercy for life. Found all, found all, found all I need. You're all I need. The time has come, stay for all. Today, today, it's all or nothing, all the way. The praise goes out to you. Yeah, all the praise goes out to you. Today, today, I live.
So I, for one, am gonna give my praise to you. And the time has come to stand for all of the living. So I, for one, am gonna give my praise to you. Goes out to you in everything I do. Yeah, all the praise goes out to you.
Short, it's a breath, new pace. Live life now without a taste. Give it fear, told me Mac, double touch. Now let the smoke clear.